thank you all for being here tonight. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. Good to see Brother Harry back in church with us after a couple of falls and sicknesses. Glad he's here with us. This is a reminder, September the 3rd, Bible time with Brother Ray at 10 o'clock in the fellowship hall. 10 o'clock a.m. in the fellowship hall. Bible time with Brother Ray. Going through the Beatitudes. And then after that, I think, Parables of Christ. A lot of good information there. So if you're available on Tuesdays, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you can come, just make yourself available for what you can do. That will be a blessing there. Don't forget this Tuesday night, if you can make it, also a Scripture Press work night. We were able to finish up some Vietnamese printing last week. I believe Sister Mary and Brother Ray and Brother Chase has already knocked out all the John and Romans English almost. There's maybe a little bit of that. And Brother Chase is starting to work on a mission songbook for us that my wife has typed out for us. So might have a little bit of that. We've got a lot that we can get accomplished on with those Vietnamese, if nothing else. That's this Tuesday night, 6:30. To about 6:45, until about right at 8 o'clock or so. That will be a blessing if y'all want to come and you can work on that. All right, let's continue our studies in the book of Genesis. And we are in chapter 12. Let's just work on verses 1 through 9 tonight. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now, this is a very interesting story. This is when God begins to work through the nation of Israel right here. Through, well, it's not a nation yet. No, it's coming. This is where it's veered off into it. We work with Adam. Adam went crossways and was evicted from the Garden of Eden. Sin got so wild and crazy that God had to destroy the earth with a flood. And he started over with Noah. Before you know it, they were worshiping idolatry worship for their entire Bible, so you have to bring confusion there. And this is where we're at. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 9, and then we will have choir practice and go home for the evening. We had a wonderful time at the nursing home. Wonderful time. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. There he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. If you back up to Genesis chapter 11, verse 26, you have a little bit of Abram's background there. In chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, Haran. Now these are the generation of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Ishka, but Sarai was barren. She had no child, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot his son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth unto the from Ur of the Chaldees. Did I read that again? No, I didn't. Verse 28, Ur of the Chaldees, and there we are again. My soul, I thought, Lord, oh, sorry about that. To go to the land of Canaan, they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. He is from the lineage of which son of Noah? Somebody help me. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, verse 10 of chapter 11. Now these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, begot Arphax unto 2 years after the flood. And then it goes on and names down through there. And you get to verse 15, it says he got Eber. And then Eber lived 30 years, and verse 16, we got Peleg, and goes on down. So he's from the lineage of Shem. Now, who can tell me where he lived? What was the area known? Not Ur of the Chaldees, but there was an area. Who?
Canaan.
They were headed to Canaan. They were headed to Canaan. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when you hear this, you're going to say, oh, I knew that. Every one of you are going to say that. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Sorry. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Acts chapter 7, verse number 2. The Bible says there, and he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of the glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. Charan is just a New Testament rendition or pronouncement of Haran. Over there where it's spelled H-A-R-A-N. So he lived in the land of Mesopotamia. Now, what was this area? I mentioned a while ago, this area is all known for something Okay, when you talk about our God is what? What do we call it? The one God, monotheistic. There we go. Man, we got a lot of educated folks in here. But the land of Mesopotamia was not. The land of Mesopotamia had many gods, multi-gods. I mean, it was multiple. There you've got words for that too. Big old words. But if you go to Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua really gets after the people of his day about this whole deal with the land where their fathers had came from. It was a land of idolatry. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other little g gods, many gods. Then we hear, and we're in Genesis chapter number 12, and God begins to deal with Abram, and he gives him some instructions. And that was a call in order that he would leave his land of nativity and he would go to a place of Canaan where he would serve God. But you'll notice something here back in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now God doesn't just put words in here just to, you know, fill in spaces. These words mean something to us, and so as we read them in chapter 12 and verse number 1, listen to what it says. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. What did the next phrase say? And from thy kindred. Guess what happened? Took Lot, did he not? And from Lot, we have a messed up situation. A real messed up situation, dear friend. I'm telling you, we have to get to the place where we obey God completely.
Amen.
It's not enough to do this half step here and half step there and then ask God to bless us. Because we're going to notice that he doesn't get the blessings of God until he separates from Lot. Until he separates completely. There's no blessings, but the blessing is there to be had. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 51. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. He wrote about this situation. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse number 2. God ordered him to leave his land of nativity and his kinfolk. What was the problem? Well, we read there in Joshua chapter 24. They were steeped in idolatry. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2. Look unto Abraham, your father, unto Sarah that bare him. For I called, and what's the next verse? Next word. Him alone, and blessed him and increased him. But it took some time, and it caused problems, it caused troubles. We're still receiving, we're recipients of this here ripple effect from this here decision not to leave Lot where he stood. I mean, he loved Lot. I understand it was his nephew. But God had given some strict instructions. And we know up to this point, every time man didn't do what they were supposed to do, according to the Word of God, it got them in trouble. Well, listen, that is still happening today. If you want to find yourself in deep trouble, just half step on the principles and precepts of God.
Amen.
It ain't enough to put the left foot in. This ain't the hokey pokey. This is God's service. It's all in. Or nothing. Pastor, that's real steep and that's real thick and that's real narrow-minded. I'll just be honest, God is a jealous God. And we have forgotten how jealous He is. And He is a consuming God. We give a little bit here, give a little bit. You know what He told them in Malachi? Take your blind donkey and go home. Brother Ray, I don't believe it. Said, you wouldn't dare take that lame sheep and offer it up there to the governor? But you're bringing it to me. Well, why is God, just for a minute here. Let's think about it. Let's ponder a minute. Why would God be such? I mean, Brother Jim, if I ain't got a donkey, a blind donkey should be good enough, right? I mean, if you got one eyeball donkey hanging around, you know, I mean, he can pull a plow at least to the right if he's blind in the left eye. He can at least pull right. We can go around right curves. I mean, you know, NASCAR goes round and around and around and around and around for 500 laps. Surely if I got a sheep that, you know, has got a little bitty hoof broke off in the back and he's just hobbling around, that's better than no sheep at all. Yeah, for you and I. But God gave His very best that you and I could have eternal life. That's why God tells us over in Malachi, you brought me in tithes and offering. Because we've done something, we make the tithe, and then we give him a little broke down, a little something over here, and say, here, God, I'm going to offer it to you. God said, no. That ain't how it works. That is not how it works. And it got Abram in trouble. Well, we need to care. Listen. When God says, leave your kinfolk, right where they sit, there's a reason. God's thoughts are very deep. Did y'all remember reading that this morning in Psalm 92? Did y'all remember that? Did y'all hear when I was reading through there? That caught me there. It was about midway through in Psalm 92. I think it's about midway through. Let's hold our horses and whoa a minute and go over there. Book of Psalms, chapter 92, where I was reading this morning. Verse Verse 5, I'm sorry, I wasn't all the way down midways. Verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Man. You know how much trouble it caused Abram? Abram had to quit what he was doing at one point, take 318 trained guards and servants that he had trained to do the work around there, and go rescue Lot. Because Lot wanted to go off and live down there with the world and all that trouble. I don't want to get too far ahead because we're going to get there in that. But here, this could have been avoided. You know, a lot of stuff that we do and a lot of trouble we get involved in, a lot of things that we reap can be avoided. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, Lord, but I've asked for forgiveness. Praise God for forgiveness, and he does forgive. But dear friend, the natural consequences many times just overwhelm us. And this caused a lot of trouble. Look over in Genesis chapter 13. God blessed Abraham after he separated from his father, Tehor, his nephew, Lot. Genesis chapter number 13. You tell me separation don't mean something. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place from where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, and for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Wait a minute, verse 3 of chapter 12, he said all that same stuff, did he not? Verse 3, he gave a sevenfold promise to Abraham. And I will bless them that bless thee. That's one. I will curse him that curseth thee. There's two. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, let's back up. And I will make thee a great nation. 1, I will bless thee. 2, and I will make thy name great. 3, and thou shalt be a blessing. They have been a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curse thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, Pastor, I ain't received not even a vacation trip over to Israel yet. No, dear friend, but because of the nation of Israel, the Savior, the Messiah came forth, and you have a passport to heaven if Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen. Because of this blessing. Sevenfold blessing here that Abraham could have enjoyed right then and right there, but he did not obey God. And he didn't receive the blessings until Genesis 13, and God puts it right there, until he separated from Lot. Why is that a big deal? Because you've got to do everything that's written in the Word of God. Everything. You nitpick here and get there. Well, I don't like that. Well, this is 2019 and it ain't fair. What? Fair? We're living in the greatest country in the whole world. You and I could have been born in Uzbekistan sucking dust right behind camels. Amen. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. You're not privileged because you was born here. You're blessed.
Amen.
Blessed. Lord, dear friend, let me tell you something. We are missing out on so many blessings because of the things we will not do.
Amen.
Got to be obedient. Got to follow through. God, listen. God blesses and God demands separation. You are a peculiar people. What's the verse over there in the New Testament about Belial and light? And the children of darkness, the children of light. Come out from among them, be closely together, related and hugged up together. Separate, saith the Lord. That's what he says. Pastor, good night, life. We got to change. Don't meddle with people that are given to change. That's what Proverbs says.
Amen.
Just be honest with you, dear friend. God didn't bless Abraham until he separated from him. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of us that we're missing out on the blessings of God that we can enjoy. Right now, we're going to have to wait till the next chapter if we just separate ourselves from all this foolishness. We as God people shouldn't be influenced by the cares of this world and the way the whims of this world and the way this world is traveling. We're not a part of this world. I'll tell you what's the problem right now. We're just like Abraham. We want to get halfway and stop. We want to do a little bit and say, Lord, look. I'm telling you, that's what Saul did, didn't it? God told Saul, Saul, get yourself down there with the armies and you go down there to the Amalekites, you destroy everything. Samuel, what's that, babe? What's that I hear in my ear? Oh, Samuel, the people said they want a sacrifice to the Lord. What's this I hear about the king? Where's the king? Bring him to me. Y'all like that imitation? It sounded better than all that other stuff I said, didn't it? I know. Sometimes I can be the south end of a northbound mule. What else I want to tell you tonight, Sister Barbara? Oh, this is it. Where's that verse that talks about Bethel and Ai? I did a little searching up on this here Bethel and Ai. Where is that back over in Genesis? Is that 9 or 8? Verse 8. Back over there in verse 8. I told you I'm going to be through real quick here tonight. Oh, no, verse 6. Back up. Let's don't go there. Verse 6. This is another phrase that caught me. Verse 6. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah. And listen what God puts in here. And the Canaanite was then in the land. What's the Canaanites? You study through the scriptures. The Canaanites gave the nation of Israel so much problem. They opposed them on every turn. They oppressed them. They fought them. They did not want them there. Opposition on opposition upon opposition. May I tell you something, dear friend? You as God's child are going to have some opposition in life. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Take your pacifiers out and start serving God like men. Christian life, dear friends, always going to have opposition. Listen to what I'm telling you. This world opposes the very God that loves us.
Amen.
Why do you think you're going to be exempt from opposition? On every turn, they are opposing God. It's just the way it is. It's been that way since here. And the Canaanite was in the land. It's just like, okay, there you go. Here's you some opposition. And what did the nation of Israel do when you get over and study in the book of Exodus? God told them to do what to the Canaanites? Run them out. Chase them out. Do away with them. I've given you this land forever. Well, they're a little bit too hard, so we're going to put them in our tribute. We're going to make them pay taxes, God. We've been complaining about taxes up to this day. That's what tribute means. Taxpayer. Well, God, we're not going to run them out, but we're going to make them pay some taxes. Then you get out of Exodus, get over to Judges, and well, there you go. Next thing you know, the strong arm is switched around, and you're paying tribute to the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Amorites, the Amalekites. You cannot negotiate with this world, dear friend. This world is not your friend. The devil is a roaring lion, Satan, who may devour. He wants to destroy you, your family, your job, your testimony.
Amen.
Well, I'll give a little bit here. Give me that. Take that. Give me this. Give me that. Back and forth we go. We need to be like Paul. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Fought a good fight. You need to be like Jude. Not contended for the faith once given to the saints. Then there's that old Bethel and Ai that I was telling you about. Verse 9, 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar before the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. So did some little searching around, looking around, because all this means something. And I found out in one of those books I got over there that Bethel, the name Bethel means house of God. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I wonder what Ai means. You know what Ai means? Heap of ruin. Where did Abraham dwell? Let's read it again. And he removed from thence into the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. He lived in the midst, in between the two. Bethel on this side, Ai on this side, he pitched his tent, built off. Well, he was having church. Wouldn't it have been much better to have church at Bethel? You notice the picture to me? We got to get just right where we're just enough there in the middle where we're comfortable. So you got in the midst instead of getting over there to the place he should have been. To the house of God and the things of God and what's concerned. Well, I know a little verse here and I know a little verse there and I'm quite all right here. I know a hymn here and I know a hymn there and I can whistle Amazing Grace there. And the whole time we're inching closer and closer to a heap of ruins. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? And Abram journeyed and going still toward where? South. And where did he end up when we get over there? He gets over there, headed south, and he starts lying, does he not? Ooh, King of Amalek, I know, I just know this is my sister. Yes, this is my sister. See what going south gets you? I'm telling you, dear friend, you better start understanding something that you need to be as close to God as possible. Praise God, he built an altar, but did not Noah build an altar? As soon as he came off that ark, grew some vineyards, built him an altar, and next thing you know, he's laying tail naked drunk. Yes, but he built an altar. If you're going to worship God, you're going to worship God in spirit and truth. You can build you some pagan altars if you want, but you better build some altars where God says build them and get a hold of those altars and stay there. If you're not, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble.
Right.
A heap of trouble. Next thing you know, you convinced your wife that we can't have a child, but we're going to take Eleazar. No, we can't take his son. No, but I got this handmaid. Before you know it, your wife convinced you. And before you know it, everything's gone crazy. And you've got two women and two children, and Ishmael is a thorn in the flesh of Israel to this very day.
Amen.
How did that happen? In their own mind. God's ways are deep. His thoughts are deep. You're going to worship God, you're going to worship in spirit and truth, dear friend. I do like this portion. It kind of reminds me of this. Abraham there, he was in what? He was in a tent. In a tent. God, over in Hebrews chapter 11, he uses that to remind us. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. And here's a thought just as you're passing through. We looked at it this morning. Salvation is by faith. But also, it is impossible to please God without faith. That's everyday living, dear friend. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He understood he was but a stranger and a pilgrim. Built that altar. Praise God for it. Got to start somewhere. I'm telling you, dear friends, some of us, here's something just to ponder for a minute. Ponder this with me. He disobeyed God. I'm not saying this is something dogmatic, but I'm just thinking with you just a minute. This is how I do it. I just sit and think. Sometimes not a good thing. But just thought, this thought just popped in my mind. He was told to leave Lot. He didn't leave Lot. He carried Lot with him. Now he's done pitched his tent, and there's Bethel on one side, Ai on the other. As soon as Lot separated, Lot pitched his tent where? In the plain of Shinar, facing where? Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder where he learned that. Oh, Abraham got it right, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes your children can't. Sometimes they ain't strong enough. Sometimes they keep on headed on out there. Well, Lot was his nephew. Oh, dear friend, he was as a father unto him. And I'm going to tell you, men, we better watch where we step and how we live, because our children are walking behind us. Amen. You say, well, they're going to make bad mistakes, and so let them make it on their own. Don't let them use you as an excuse. You stay faithful, you love God, you get to Bethel and you serve God with all your heart, because your children need somebody to stand up and say, if the world don't serve God, I will serve God. Amen. Like Joshua said. If you're going to serve the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood, go ahead and do it. But for me and my house, we're serving God. And Abel. Wow. I bet y'all glad we only stopped at 9 tonight, huh? There's a lot of information there. Brother David, I got looking at it a while ago. I was like, ooh, man, alive. And he journeyed on toward the south. Look at that next verse. The next verse. And we're done. I'm not even going to get there. Just I'm going to read it. He journeyed on to the south. And what it says. And there was a famine. Some of you run around here living in a famine because you don't feast on the Word of God. The righteous shall hunger and thirst after the Word of God. It's like it's a need, it's a desire, it's a necessity, must have. And may I say this, dear friend, we live in a time and age where God's house is just simply optional anymore. If I get to it, if I don't, I don't. It's not optional. It is a need that we have to fellowship together around the things of God and God's people, around the altar of God, around Bethel, because there's too much heaps of ruin out there. Think about all the heaps of ruin you run across in your own day-to-day activities. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, so much for this evening, for the time we got to spend in the Bible. I know, God, that some of it probably seem rough, but it's just honest truth. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and Lord, if it gets us where we sit and where we are, may we just get ourselves right. As our Sunday school class quarterly said this morning, we need to stop faking Christianity, because we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as our Savior. God, I pray you bless us tonight as we continue throughout this evening. Help our choir to sing with the best of their ability. Remember the songs and praise your name come Sunday morning. God, for those that weren't able to be here for sickness or illness, I pray, God, you would heal their bodies. There's work, and I pray you'd help them, Lord, to be able to arrange their lives so they can be here outside of work. Lord, those that just outright didn't want to be here, I pray you tenderly prick and convict their hearts, let them know their need for you and for your things, that they'd be found faithful to the house of God. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, to help our church. Help us, Lord, to love this community, love our families enough, Lord, that we'll say, yes, we will do right. In Jesus' name, amen.